Here we are again, without shoes and shaking. I don't know, you guys scare me. If you could all turn around and face the other direction, that would be very helpful. Well, good morning. As nervous as I get, it is really good to see you all today and to be here this morning. Welcome to those of you watching online. We are glad that you are joining us today. Thank you to my amazing husband, partner in crime, best friend, and spiritual leader of our household, Matt, for inviting me to preach again this morning. You know that know my husband. Sorry, we might have a bad connection here. We good? Those of you that know him know he is a very funny guy, or at least he thinks he is. So living with him is very interesting. And if I can say parenting alongside of him is just as interesting, okay? So I'm just going to give you one example. So when our kids were little, he's a martial artist, and he's a third degree black belt. And he has owned 4 different taekwondo schools. So every state that we have lived in, he's opened up a taekwondo school. And he would order certain things and get them in the mail. And for whatever reason, he always thought it was fun to try them out on me or our kids first. So there was this one time he got in 2 sets of boxing gloves. Now, Jordan and Jalissa, our daughters, Jace wasn't even along for the ride yet. Jordan was about 4, and Jordan, wave, just put your hand up, this is Jordan. And then Jalissa, she was 2. And if you know our daughters, Jordan is very tall for her age. She's always been, she towered over all the other kids her age. And so Jordan, at age 4, he gave her the first set of boxing gloves. And wouldn't you know, he wanted her to go against our daughter, Jalissa, who was about 2 at the time. And she still is. We actually gave her the name Half Pint when she was little because she's just so tiny. She's always been little. She learned to walk when she was 1, and it was funny to watch her walk because she was so tiny. I'm like, how is she standing? She's just so small. So anyway, I shared with him, I said, honey, I don't think this is the best of idea. As these girls are, Jalissa couldn't even hold hers up, and Jordan's ready to go at it, right? And I'm like, I don't think this is a very good idea. And he reassures me that it'll be fun. He said, it's going to be fun. They're going to have a good time. We're just going to test it out here. So I said, okay. So I just stand back, and the show begins. So Jordan literally takes 1 step back, barely hits her, right? 1 sock to Jalissa. Jalissa lifts off the air. She's in the air. She's off the ground, and she lands on her back on the floor. And now Jalissa is crying because she was not having fun, Matt. You said she would have fun. He said this will be fun. She wasn't having fun. She is crying. And so I give my husband the look. You ladies ever give your husband the look? I gave him the look. And you want to know what he said? Oh, I didn't realize that she would hit her that hard. I mean, this was like a David and Goliath situation right in my living room. I mean, like I said, parenting with him it's never a dull moment, right? Never a dull moment living with a comedian. He always has great ideas to keep us on our toes. Well, we are kicking off the marriage series, and I can tell you I am very excited to do this. Usually, wherever you preach is where the enemy attacks. And so we were prayed up. We have been fasting for these messages. I know God is going to do something awesome. And so I had on the full armor of God, and the enemy was like, well, shoot. I guess I will make them sick. I will give them both a cough. So we've had this lingering cough for 2 weeks that we can't get rid of. So if I start coughing, just keep praying, okay? The enemy is not going to win. He will not gain ground in this house, right? Well, marriage can be an adventure, can't it? How many couples do we have in the room this morning? Just raise your hand if you're married. Okay, keep them up. Now raise your hand if you've been married. Raise your hand if you want to get married. Okay, so we're going to cover almost everybody in the room, okay? And the things that we're going to talk about doesn't just apply to marriages. A lot of this can apply to relationships too, okay? Well, you meet that certain person that you truly feel like God has placed in your life, and you are so in love, right? Nothing could possibly go wrong. You make the choice to get engaged to that perfect person, and you think once you are married, you are off to a life of bliss. Children, love, respect, honor, commitment, and wonderful memories to be made. La, 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 la. The white picket fence, right? You got it all pictured. Everything's going to be absolutely perfect because marriage is perfect, right? Then you get married. And you now have to live in the same house with the same person 24/7. They never leave. They're always there. They wake up with bedhead. They wake up with bad breath. Yeah, even your pastor, I know. Everybody thinks he's perfect. Thinks living with a pastor, he's just got it all together. He's absolutely perfect. And the things that you loved about your husband or wife before you got married now drive you absolutely nuts. Like his being so funny, right? He always had a good sense of humor. I thought it was so attractive when we were dating, and now it drives me nuts. I'm like, I just want to have one conversation with you where you're not cracking a joke. Can we be serious for 2 seconds, please? Like our kids would be fighting in the other room, and I would be like, okay, what's going on? He'd be like, fight, 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 fight. Oh my gosh. And if you are lucky enough to have a husband like mine who is a comedian, he may say things like, well, I told you when I married you that I loved you. If anything changes, I'll let you know. And maybe, men, you are lucky enough, or should I say blessed enough, to have a wife like me that helps you when you drive. Because we want to make sure that you don't end up in, like, accidents or in the side of buildings or, you know, anything like that. So you are welcome. I tease my husband because he will ask me when we go places or we make decisions. He'll say, well, why don't I get a pick? And I reassure him he did pick. He chose me, and I choose everything else. I hope you like your choice, Matt Miller. Well, Matt, marriage, it is a blessing. But I'm going to be honest with you guys this morning. It can be hard. Two completely opposite people who have both been raised completely opposite must live together for the rest of your life. To say it can be challenging is an understatement. Matt tells me, just when I figure out the answer, you change the question. A lot of times, though, we feel like our marriage is the only one with problems, when in all reality, it is normal to have issues in your marriage. I'm going to prove it to you. It's actually biblical. 1 Corinthians 7:28 says, but those of you who marry will face many troubles in this life. Well, isn't that encouraging? Praise the Lord. Matt says, you don't see that on wedding cakes. Well, there are many benefits to marrying, and marriage is a blessing from the Lord, but he does warn us it will be difficult. A lot of couples go into their marriage vows with very high and unrealistic expectations, and so when things get hard, they quit. They throw in the towel, we play the blame game, and never choose to finish strong. The divorce percentage among the Christian couples is sadly just as great as the ones who do not attend church. In January of this year, the study came out that 50% of marriages end in divorce, and it goes up to 65% when you are on a second marriage. Church, this is a problem. There is a story of a man and woman who had been married over 60 years, and they had a daughter. And her daughter asked her dad, she said, "Dad, how did you know mom was the right one?" To which her dad replied, "I didn't. I chose for her to be the right one." What a wise man. God gives us free choice to choose as humans, and our choices, however, have consequences. How we choose our spouse is up to us. Do I believe that God places people in your life? Absolutely. But I also believe that God gives us free will to choose who we will marry. Sadly, so many people think that when the wedding bells happen, that the person that they are dating will automatically change and be the person that they desire for them to be. This is actually the complete opposite of what we should be looking for. If you are praying and asking God for a spouse who loves him and who will love you according to biblical standards, and you do have that list that you are praying over, and they don't meet what is on that list, but you think you can change them, I am here to tell you this morning, you are dead wrong. That is not how it works. We should not get married for what your spouse can do for you, but you should go into a marriage with the mindset of how can I serve this man or woman for the rest of my life. When we get married, we have a choice to do what God's word says as husbands and wives or not. How we choose to love our spouse, I truly believe, is the difference whether or not you will finish strong. The name of my message today is I Choose. God, I pray that you would use me this morning as a vessel. God, I know that I have prepared as much as I can prepare, and the rest is up to you. And God, you have shown me what you are going to do in these marriages. And so I am just standing firm and praying and believing and rebuking the enemy for what he has tried to do. And I just pray, God, through this message that you would start to renew the marriages in this room and the marriages that are watching online this morning. I thank you for using me as a vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, marriage is an amazing thing, and it truly is a gift from God. Even though the Bible warns that we will have trouble in marriage, the benefits of marriage far outweigh the troubles if we do it right. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10 says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anybody who falls down and has no one to help them up." Genesis 2:18 says, "The Lord said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" God truly gave us one another to do life with. It can be a beautiful thing if we get this right, but sadly, so many of us, like I said before, go into marriage with high expectations, and when they aren't fulfilled or things don't go as planned, we start focusing on the wrong thing. Nothing will help you die to your flesh quicker than getting married. It is true, because once you are married and living with somebody else, your selfish desires to only meet your own needs need to change, or it will be a disaster. Marriage takes work, you guys. The newness, it will wear off. The tingles, they will go away. The pressures of life will start, and it is how you choose to handle the difficult situations that will strengthen your marriage or drain it. Now, I don't have a perfect marriage, as Matt is still working on a lot of things. Yeah. I love you, babe. He told you last week I'd get him back. But I do believe that God will use our story to encourage you this morning. We met when I was 15 and he was 22. I know, you don't have to tell me. We dated for 2.5 years before we got married in December of 2000. When dating, everybody teased that we were the perfect couple because we never fought. We got along. He would spend as much time with me as he possibly could when he was home on the weekends from his job, and we were the best of friends. We got pregnant with our oldest daughter, Jordan, right after we got married. And so when I graduated from high school the following summer of 2001, I was already married and almost 6 months pregnant with our first child. I was young. I had a lot to learn. Within the first 5 years of our marriage, we had 3 live births, 3 miscarriages, adopted a child, went into full-time ministry, and moved 10 hours away from family to obey God and the calling that he had on our lives. These first several years of our marriage were tough, and we no longer had family, but we had ourselves to think about, as well as the pressures of finances to keep our quickly growing family clothed and fed. The pressures of ministry were great, and like most couples, we didn't handle it the best. I had major anger issues, and Matt was a workaholic. And when I say I had anger issues, Matt got very good at dodging bottles and curse words that flew out of my mouth. And when I say he was a workaholic, I mean like I had to learn he would never come home on time and help me with the kids. It was a disaster, if you can imagine. But he also didn't want to come home to his very unpleasant wife and home life, so it was easier for him to just stay at work. I felt like he had replaced me and our family with the church, and so the resentment of being in ministry really took a toll on me. We had to seek out counseling many times in our marriage the first few years, and you guys, it was stinking hard. It was tough. Again, I was so young, and he was young. We had moved every 5 years from the time we said I do up until 6 years ago when God moved us here to Green Bay from Phoenix, Arizona. Our marriage, just like everybody else, went through good seasons and bad seasons. And I'm telling this morning, just because we are pastors doesn't mean that we had some like pass card, okay? Like we had to figure out this thing called marriage just like you do. There were many times early on that we both wanted to throw in the towel because, you guys, it was so hard. But we had a choice. We needed to choose to fight for our marriage, and that is what we did. We were advised to cut out the word divorce, which we threw around all of the time. We cut it out of our vocabulary, and we started truly letting God heal our marriage. We went to counseling many times, and we both dug our heels in. Divorce was no longer an option or even a consideration because we both wanted to make it work. Here we are 23 years later this coming December, just killing this marriage thing. What do you think, babe? How are we doing? Doing all right? We still don't have a perfect marriage because, well, yes, we both, me too, are still learning to die to our flesh and serve one another daily so that we are both winning at life. The Bible says the two shall become one. So when my husband is not winning, I am not winning. When I am not winning, he is not winning. You are a team. The two shall become one. We had to figure out to make sure that we were both winning at life. However, I can say that I would choose this man on the front row over and over again. I am so thankful we didn't quit. So my passion for marriage, I cry every time, you guys, every time. I can't get through a sermon without crying. My passion for marriage is strong because of everything that we have gone through. Knowing that God can truly heal my marriage from so many ups and downs makes me hopeful for you and your marriage as well. But the choice is up to you. Will you continue to choose to fight for your spouse every single day? The Bible commands us to love one another But instead of doing that as married couples, when the pressures of life come, what do? We turn on the one that we love the most and don't act very Christ-like. We start to argue and blame and resent, and the walls get built brick by brick by brick. And before we know it, we are no longer pursuing one another. And the pressures of life seem too much to bear. At this point, you start feeling like roommates more than a married couple, and the word divorce seems like a good option. We constantly compare our marriage to other married couples who always seem to be posting their perfect life on social media, and we feel like we are broken, and it can be very, very lonely. You are no longer working as a team, and you even find yourself bashing your spouse or to friends or coworkers behind their back. Maybe you're in here today and you think, man, I'm more qualified than you. I've been married longer than you. I have an awesome marriage. And to that, I say, praise God. That's awesome. I am truly happy for you. But maybe you're in here and you both think it's too late. Maybe you think there's no coming back from this mess that we have created. Maybe you came without your spouse today because they refuse to come to church. Some of you may have a spouse who is struggling with infidelity or an addiction, and the weight of life is too much to bear, and you can't help but wonder if you can restore what the enemy is trying to do. Some of you in here are not married yet, and you want to get married, but you either haven't found that right person, or you're a little bit nervous about this marriage thing because you've never been shown a godly example of what a marriage should look like. Some of you might be on your second or third marriage, and it too is falling apart, and you are at an absolute loss. Or you are married to somebody who is abusive, physically, mentally, or even sexually. Some of you today have come in feeling alone, stuck, and without hope for your marriage and your future. And I'm here to tell you today, this is right where the enemy wants you. He wants to feel you, make you feel like you have no hope, like there is no future for your marriage. Out of desperation to change or fix our relationships, what do? Well, a lot of couples come into our office and say we're getting a divorce, and we had no idea that they were even struggling. Because what they've done is they have retrieved. They don't tell anybody. They think we're alone. We feel stuck. Nobody else is going through what we're going through. And that is absolutely not true. Maybe you feel like you're living like roommates. And then we then try to do what we should not do, which is to change our spouse. That is not your job to change them. Our job is to love them. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We are commanded to love. Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 says, wives, submit to your husbands, to your own husbands, as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. We're going to stop right here for a second, because this verse right here has been taken out of context. So we're going to cover it. It does not say women submit to men, first of all. It says wives submit to your husbands. However, we have one authority higher than our husband, and that is God. So if your husband tells you to do something that is against God's word, you need to submit to God's word first. There are many examples that I could give you here, but this is just one that came to my mind. So let's say you do the taxes, and your husband says, yeah, why don't you fudge the numbers a little bit on there so we get a tax return this year? Not being truthful about your taxes is lying. And if you read the same Bible I read, it says lying is a sin. So therefore, you need to listen to God's word first, okay? Also, if our husbands are doing what they are supposed to do and loving their wife as God loves the church, which we get that scripture, we'll get to the rest of that scripture here in a moment, he will treat you with the love of Christ and lead you and your family in a Christ-like manner. So we should never, ladies, are you hearing me? You should never be fearful of your husband, okay? On a side note, before we get to the rest of the scripture in Ephesians, men, as women, we desire for you to be a godly man who is leading us and our children spiritually. We want you to pray. That's attractive. We want you to read God's word. That's attractive. We want you to provide and protect. We want you to come to church. We want you to be honest and a man of integrity. We want you to be the man of God that you are designed to be, even when no one is looking. That, gentlemen, is attractive to your wife. If you are leading her and your family spiritually, treating her like Christ wants you to, I promise you, she will feel loved. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, picking back up in Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. We are commanded to love one another and treat our spouse like we would our own bodies. It's in God's word. Now, ladies, if you think you got off free, you did not. It is easier for a man to love a woman as his wife when she is not treating him like a child. The way we make our husband feel respected is to make sure he knows how much he is appreciated without nagging him all of the time. If we are men, do not say amen. If we are constantly griping and complaining and tearing him down, he will not feel respected. Proverbs 21:9, better to live on a corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Proverbs 27:15, a quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof in a rainstorm. Proverbs 21:19, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. Ladies, do I need to keep going? There is several scriptures mentioned on this. Stop nagging and arguing with your husband. He doesn't need another mother in his life or to be treated like a child. Why do couples get married in the first place? When you ask them, they say, well, we're in love. So we're going to take a look at what the Bible says love is. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Again, marriage will help you die to your flesh very quickly. It is not easily angered. It does not keep record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. You guys, when we get married, we are so quick to throw this scripture out. We don't truly love our spouse the way that we are commanded. As you see, love isn't a feeling, it's an action. Yelling at your spouse, treating them like they are less than you, not looking out for their best interests is not love. Talking behind their back is not love. Cursing at them is not love. Reminding them of everything that they did wrong that week is not love. Holding the truth or lying to them is not love. Refusing to meet their needs is not love. The Bible says in Genesis 2:24, therefore a man will leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one. You need to treat your spouse like you want to be treated, just like we tell our kids, right? Treat others the way you want to be treated. Putting their interests, wants, and desires above your own. Men, treat your wife for who she is, which is God's daughter. Women, treat your husband for who he is, which is God's son. Treat them as though Jesus, their creator, was standing right next to you and listening to every word you say to them, which he is, right? But we get so quick to forget that when we're bashing our spouse or yelling at them or putting them down or cursing at them or reminding them of everything that they did wrong that week. That is God's daughter or God's son. You need to treat them that way. Every couple, I don't care if you have a great marriage or not, every couple will eventually face problems, right? I can't tell you one couple that has never had at least one problem arise in their marriage. If you've been married for any amount of time, you have had problems, right? Whether it's money problems, job issues, kid problems, jealousy problems, health problems, in-law problems, lack of communication problems, the list could go on. We will face problems. But I am here to tell you this morning, your money problems in your marriage is not the problem. It's how you choose to treat one another when you are going through the problem. The stress of jobs and kids are not the problem. It's how you choose to treat your spouse when you are going through the problem. Your jealous feelings are not the problem. It's how you choose to handle those feelings. Your lack of communication in your relationship is not the problem. It's how you choose to fix or not to fix the lack of communication in your marriage. Marriage will have problems and issues will arise. Believe me, after 23 years of marriage, I have had problems. But you know what we both chose to do when the problems arose? We decided to choose to fight for it. Now, I have shared this story before, but it fits so perfectly with what I am trying to share with you this morning. After Matt and I moved to Green Bay from Phoenix 6 years ago, we took a huge pay cut. I now had to work full-time for the first time in our marriage. The nest egg of savings that we had depleted very quickly. Our kids were struggling in their new schools, and our debt was piling up. We had huge repairs hit us between our vehicle and the new home that we had just bought. I had a lot of health issues, which required specialist appointments, doctor's appointments. I had found a lump in one of my breasts that had to be surgically removed. And we did not have health care, so we had to pay for everything out of pocket. And the pressures of life were great. And I hated the cold weather. I mean, God took us from the desert to the frozen tundra. And I was like, what in the world? I didn't like it. I had slipped into a deep depression, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I was ticked. I mean, I was angry, okay? I was mad at God a little bit, but I was really mad at my husband. And I had blamed him for our financial issues and my unhappiness. And once again, I remember, I'll never forget it, I was crying out to God and just letting him have it about my husband and how angry I was, and I can't believe that you moved us here, and I can't believe that he did this, and I'm expecting God to be like, you know what, you're right, like, he needs to straighten up. That's not what God said. As clearly as I can hear God, he said, since when was it Matt's job to keep you happy? He was basically saying, stop being a baby, Kyla. You're being selfish. And it is not anybody's job to keep you happy. You are focusing on the wrong things. Keep your eyes on me and remember the call. I will take care of you. And then he said something that was really rude. He said, now go apologize to your husband. Okay. Talk about a tail tucked between your legs. So I was obedient. I apologized to my husband. But what I really had to do was refocus and press into God and what he had for us at the time. That was a season that I look back on now, and I'm honestly so thankful for it. Again, marriage will help you die to your flesh quickly, and I needed to die to a few things that day. But you know what it does? It helps your marriage grow stronger. Usually the valleys in life are where we grow the most. I chose once again to stay with my husband and let God do the work on my heart. We get this all wrong. We get married and we have these expectations that it is our spouse's job to keep us happy. God does not give you a spouse to keep you happy. It is not their job. If anything, the job of each of us is to serve one another. And if you both have that mindset, I am telling you, it is a game changer. Marriage is not the end of the adventure. Oh, ball and chain, I'm married, I can't do anything. That's not true. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of the adventure. If your spouse does something to tick you off, you should probably thank them, because that's usually a time for God to do something amazing in your heart, because God is saying, I love you enough, Kyla, to allow this, because he pursues you. He never stops pursuing you. He wants you to get better and stronger. You may be thinking this morning, but Kyla, you aren't married to my spouse. You don't have to live with them. God sees that he leaves the toilet seat up, doesn't pick up his dirty clothes. Men, maybe you're thinking, she tells me how to drive all the time. How do I live with that? Do you see how she treats me? Sometimes we have deeper hurts that are serious issues, and we wonder how in the world God wants us to forgive our spouse when we feel so betrayed, hurt, unloved, disrespected, angry, sad, however you're feeling. God, do you see what they did to me? Are you kidding me? I really must respond in love? To that, he says yes. He understands. He's been there. One example is Peter. He's supposed to be one of Jesus' closest friends and followers. I mean, you guys, he knows intimate information about him. He's supposed to have Jesus' back. He ends up denying Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus had every right to be hurt and offended and start putting up walls, but what he does is amazing. He goes to where Peter is fishing, makes him a hot breakfast, reminds him of his calling, the way that Jesus still loves him is absolutely overwhelming. I mean, he allowed him to stay in his inner circle and not pick up the spirit of offense towards him. What a perfect example of love. I mean, you see that happen in marriages all the time, right? And we think, how can I forgive them? We need to treat our spouse like Jesus reacted to Peter. They hurt us. We still need to go to where they are and serve them. Help them back up because they already feel crappy about themselves for treating you that way. And remind them of their calling and who they are. I'm telling you this morning, God is real. His love for you is amazing. And he wants to prosper you, and he wants to prosper your marriage. But you guys, we have a choice. I am so thankful through everything that we have had to endure in marriage and the life of ministry that Matt and I both chose to not give up and choose one another every single day. The world will tell you, do what makes you happy. If you're not happy in your marriage, get a divorce. Do it. Do what you need to do. Do what makes you happy. You know what God says to do? He says to love one another regardless. It's time to put God back into our marriages, church. They say that there's three words in a marriage that are hard for couples to say, and surprisingly, it isn't I love you or I am sorry, but the three words that are the hardest to say is I need you. We can be so quick to feel like we need to be strong and say things like, I don't need you. I can do it on my own. I'll figure it out. God gives you a spouse for a reason. And if you choose to grasp the concept that there is strength in joining hands and making sure that your spouse's needs are met, putting their needs above your own, that is where you will find success. Let your spouse know that you need them today and that you choose to fight for them every single day, even when they're not in the room. Sam, can I have you come up and start playing, please? Love isn't an feeling, it is an action. Some of you in here this morning and some of you watching online really need God to do something amazing in your marriage. And I'm going to pray over you this morning, but if you're in here with your spouse this morning, and maybe you have a good marriage, maybe you're like, man, we've been rocking this thing for 30 years. We have an awesome marriage. But you want to press in a little bit further. You know God can do something a little bit more in that marriage. I want you to grab your spouse's hand that's sitting next to you this morning, and I want you to stand because I want to pray over you. Maybe you're in here this morning, and your marriage needs a little work. Maybe you need to die to your flesh a little bit. I want you to grab the hand of your spouse and I want you to stand. I believe that some of you in here today are watching online. Maybe you're in the middle of a divorce. And maybe God is telling you, I want to do something new in you. Maybe you have a child. Maybe your marriage is good, but you have a child that's going through a lot of junk in their marriage. And you want to stand in the gap for them today. I want you to stand. God wants to do something amazing in marriages through this series. But you have to be bold enough to grab your spouse's hand, stand up, and decide to let God move in. Father, I thank you for the marriages in here this morning and those watching online. Jesus, I just pray that what the enemy has tried to do, God, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I just pray for a strength in these marriages today, God. Lord, have your way. I just expect, God, and I know, Lord, that through this series, God, that you are going to do some awesome things. I just pray, God, that we wouldn't be looking at our spouse and thinking, man, I'm glad they're in here to hear this. But instead, looking at themselves of, God, what can I do to serve my spouse? Some people in here, God, just need to choose you in their marriages today. I thank you for what you're going to do over these next several weeks. I just pray for a newness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and all stand to our feet if we could. Thanks, babe. Great job. I tell you what, we're real with you guys. I mean, we've gone through some stuff. I think everything she's mentioned, we've gone through it as well, and we work through it. And some of the best advice that we were ever given was to remove the D word from our marriage, like she said, divorce. We never said that after that time. Typically, when we say that as a form of control. We're trying to control our spouse. We're trying to scare our spouse. That's just the truth behind it. That's why I used it. I was mad at her, and so I would. That's kind of the below the belt. I'm going to throw this word out there so I can get you to do what I want you to do. And then you learn it's not healthy to a marriage. And so if you're using that word, man, I encourage you, just like we did, just cut it out. Never again will we say that word. We're going to work on this together. We're going to get through this together. It's a process. But I'm telling you, when marriage is done right, and this is what we're seeing right now, when it's done right, it's probably the most beautiful thing this side of heaven. But when it's done wrong, it doesn't feel anything like heaven. So I just want to encourage you today. We come from that tough spot. If you're in a place now where we used to be, hopefully this gives you some encouragement that if you just keep fighting, you'll get there. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to come into this place and to worship you, Lord. Just like my wife prayed, God, I pray for these marriages today. I pray, God, that you would strengthen these marriages today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the assignment of the enemy on marriages. And God, what you have joined together, let not man separate. And so, God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.